Well, if you were with us last week, you know that we wrapped up our series titled I Am, a series that focused on the seven I Am statements made by Jesus throughout the book of John. And over the course of those 7 weeks, we got a look into the truth of who Jesus is. And if you missed any of that series, I would encourage you to go online to listen to or watch those messages, because I think there are some powerful truths that we looked at in regards to who Jesus is and who he desires us to be. And one of the things that we actually talked about over the last several weeks of that series is the fact that Jesus came to give us life, right? We talked about I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we talked about this life that Jesus came to give us. And that life that he gave us is for right now, that we're living it out. Because the truth is, we all have a past, right? And we struggle with that at times. But God is calling us to leave our past behind. And if we've chosen to follow Jesus, we all have a future, right? That someday we'll spend eternity with him. But neither our past nor our future should get in the way of the life that God has called us to live today, right now. And so as I was reflecting on the end of that series and this reality and just praying about where God wanted to take us next, I was reminded of a book I read a while back, a few years back, titled Win the Day, right here, Win the Day by Mark Batterson. I was reminded of this book. It's a book written by, again, many of you know, one of my favorite pastors. I listen to his podcast all the time. He's kind of like my pastor, right, who I listen to all the time. It's a book written by him. And it's full of great advice and tools to help us live in the moment, to win the day. And so today we're kicking off a new series simply titled that, Win the Day. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. So let's turn our focus to today and how do we win the day. This is what we're going to be talking about over the next 7 weeks. And so there are some powerful ideas and thoughts from Pastor Mark's book that will help us all live in the moment where we can actually win each day. And so today the title of my message is Flip the Script. And it's this reality that as we live in a fallen, broken world, we've got to flip the script, meaning that if we want to change our lives, we need to change our stories. We need to flip the script. According to psychologists Matthew Killingsworth and Daniel Gilbert, the average person spends 46.9% of their time thinking about something other than what they're doing in that present moment, right? Like right now, many of you are thinking about what you're going to have for lunch, wondering when I'm going to get done with the message and not actually listening to what I am saying, right? Some of you are like, oh crud, he got me there. But the point is, we often fail to live in the moment that we're in. We're often distracted. Whether that's because we're struggling with our past, whether that's because we're worried about the future, the fact is, we're half present, half the time, which means we're really only half alive. And the only way to be fully alive is to be people who are fully present. And that happens when we can focus on the current moment and live in the now. Live out today to the fullest. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus tells us, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, right? You see, God's desire is for us to focus on today. And this isn't just a good idea. I believe it's actually a God idea. There are actually numerous scriptures that talk about focusing on today. Let me just share a few with you this morning. Matthew 6:11 says, give us today our daily bread. Luke 9:23 says, "Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross daily," right? We're reminded in Psalm 118:24 that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And in Lamentations 3:22-23, it tells us, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning," right? Every day they are new. Catching a pattern here, right? Like I said earlier, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery, and our job is to focus on today, to win today. Now, I don't know what great plans God has for your lives, but I do know that He who began a good work is faithful to complete it, right? And the thing is that good work that God is doing, what He's doing in our lives, is going to be completed one day at a time, right? We don't become who God has called us to be overnight. I know many of us hope we could and wish that we could, right? But we don't become who God has called us to be overnight. It's a process. And our job today is to simply win the day, right? And then tomorrow, we get up again and we do the same thing. We win the day. I think most of you are familiar with the old question, how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time, right? And so how do we become who God is calling us to become? How do we accomplish the miracles God has for us one day at a time? In his book, Mark Batterson says, "Almost anyone can accomplish almost anything if they work at it long enough, hard enough, and smart enough." The truth is, we are capable of more than we think we are capable of. And how can I say this? Because I know that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. It tells us that in His Word. But the thing is, God has a way of doing things that often looks different than how we thought it would look, right? Than how we imagined He would do it. This is true when it comes to the scripture that we're going to look at this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Genesis chapter 50. Before we read our scripture, we have just one scripture this morning, but before we read our scripture this morning, I want to give you some background on where we're at here in this scripture. Many of you are probably familiar with the story of Joseph, right? He was one of 12 brothers, and we know that he was one of his father's favorites, right? And his father didn't do a very good job of hiding that. Many of us know the story of his coat of many colors that made his brothers jealous, right? And so this fact that he was one of the favorites, the fact that his dad didn't hide it, caused some issues with his brothers. And then when Joseph was a teenager, one night he has this dream, right? This dream that his brothers, who most of them, all of them except one, are older than him, that his brothers someday will bow down to him, right? He has this dream, and he makes this mistake of telling his brothers about this dream, right? That they will someday bow down to their little brother. And so this kind of ticks his brothers off a little bit. And the truth is, his brothers actually become so angry that they actually talk about killing him. But thankfully, his brother Reuben has mercy on Joseph and encourages his brothers not to kill him, right? To throw him in a pit. He thinks he's going to come back and save him. But while he's gone, they sell him into slavery, right? And they end up telling his dad that he was killed by a wild animal. Great brothers, right? But Joseph ends up in Egypt after being sold into slavery, and things really go from bad to worse as he ends up in prison for a crime that he didn't even commit, right? And he finds himself stuck there for many years. But through all the ups and downs of Joseph's life, he continues to trust in the Lord. And long story short, after being left in prison for years, Joseph ends up interpreting one of Pharaoh's dreams. And Pharaoh is so impressed with Joseph that he actually makes him his right-hand man. And because of the dream that Joseph interpreted, he knew that a famine was coming. And so Egypt began to stockpile food and resources for this coming famine. And so 13 years after his brothers sold him to slavery, they actually come to Egypt begging for food because of this famine, right? And in Genesis 43:28, we actually read that his brothers bow down to him in this position that he is there in Egypt, right? I can only imagine what Joseph must have thought or felt in that moment. This vision that he had 13 years prior, the vision that caused him all these challenges and struggles, the vision that seemed impossible, this vision is fulfilled right here in this moment, which brings us to our scripture for today. Genesis 50, verse 20. And it's at this moment that Joseph's brothers stand before him. And I'm sure that there were all sorts of thoughts going through Joseph's mind, right, about his brothers. Thoughts about the past 13 years, all the ups and downs, all the pain and suffering he's experienced, all the twists and turns along the way. And with all these things going through his mind, this is what Joseph says to his brothers in Genesis 50:20, our main scripture for today. Joseph says these words, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Now, I have to be honest, if I was Joseph and if I had these brothers that sold me into slavery, and if I had gone through all the things that Joseph had gone through, I don't know that these would have been the words that I would have chosen to say to my brothers, right? Many of us probably wouldn't have said these things to our brothers. But isn't this what winning the day is all about? It's learning to do God's will instead of our own. That's what winning the day is. It's learning to do God's will instead of our own. It's learning to have the heart of Jesus instead of the heart of sinful, broken people. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about learning to flip the script. It's learning how to do things God's way as opposed to doing things our way or really the world's way, because a lot of times that's our problem. We do things the way the world does instead of the way God desires us to do it. And so if we want to flip the script, I think there's some things we can learn here from Joseph, and I want to look at those. The first thing is this. Number one, we need to know who we are. You see, our sense of self can come from a lot of different sources. Sometimes it's as simple as someone saying that we're good at this or bad at that. And we let others define who we are. I love Pastor Dave Wright, pastor here in town at Dallas Evangelical Church. I love his story of how he became a pastor. He told us once early in at one of our DMA meetings that he went to Bible college to be a pastor. And at the Bible college, they told him, "You're not cut out to be a pastor." And so he ended up quitting Bible college. But fast forward many years later, he's a member at Dallas Evangelical Church, and their pastor resigns, and they're trying to figure out what to do. And in the process of figuring out what they're going to do, some of the leadership in the church says, "Hey, Dave, you should be our pastor. You should step in and pastor this church." Now, he tells you he was reluctant, right? Why? Because of what he had been told by others many years ago. But But now, I was trying to figure out, 9 or 10 years later, this man who was told that he wasn't cut out to be a pastor is still pastoring Dallas Evangelical Church and making a difference in our community. You see, we can't let other people narrate our story. We can't live our lives according to the expectations of others. The truth is, we were created by God, right? Psalm 139:13, David talks about this, where he talks about being created he created my inmost being and knit me together, right, in my mother's womb, he says. And in the next verse, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I believe that this is David talking, but I believe that is true about every single one of us. God created each of us. None of us are a mistake, okay? God created each of us. He knit each of us together in our mother's womb. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I believe that our true identity comes from Him. Not from our past failures. Right? A lot of times we feel like who we are comes from our past failures. I remember in Newburgh, when I first got there, my brother-in-law had got there 2 years prior to me, and then he brought me into Newburgh with him. But he shared a story. When he first arrived at the church, there was a lady that came up to him and said, "Hi, I'm the one who had a child out of wedlock before I was married." And this was, the child was like 10 or 11 at this time, maybe 12. And I remember my brother just telling her, "I don't ever want to hear you describe yourself that way again." Because that's what other people have said. That's who you are. You're the woman that had a child out of wedlock. That's not who you are, right? We're not defined by our past failures. We're not who other people try to say we are. Our identity is found in Jesus. I want to take a minute to go back and look a little closer at the story of Joseph. Where Joseph's brothers, they end up in Egypt, right? Because like everyone else, they're starving from the famine. And after playing a few mind games with his brothers, if you know the story, he does mess with his brothers a little bit. And I think it's justified, right? Considering what they put him through, maybe a little bit, right? But Joseph finally identifies himself. He reveals his identity to his brothers. And in Genesis 45:3, he just simply says, "I am Joseph." Now, most of the time, we would just read right past that part of the scripture because we know that this is Joseph. But I point this part of the scripture out because Joseph knew who he was. He knew his name, and that may not seem like a big deal, but when Pharaoh exalted Joseph to second in command, he actually gave Joseph a new name. He gave Joseph an Egyptian name, Zaphnath-Paneah. That was his new name. And you see, it would have been so easy for Joseph to forget who he was, to forget that he was Joseph. He could have taken on this other life, this other reality. He could have become someone else, but he knew his name. And the truth is, our culture makes it real easy for us to forget who we are. They'll label us. They define us. And if given the opportunity, we live in a world that will chew us up and spit us out. This is why we have to know who we are. And more importantly, we have to know whose we are. Whose we are. We need to understand that we are blessed. We are chosen. We are redeemed. We are children of God. And the Bible tells us that we were created in His image. This is powerful. And so if we want to flip the script, We need to understand this truth. We need to know who we are in Him. Not who the world says we are, but who we are in Jesus. Amen? So first, we need to know who we are. Secondly, we need to adjust our focus. Some of you may be familiar with the saying, your focus determines your reality. If you grew up watching Star Wars, or have kids that grew up watching Star Wars, you might know that this is actually a famous quote from the Jedi Knight Qui-Gon Jinn, okay? And he says this to young Anakin Skywalker. Your focus determines your reality. But here's the thing, this is more than just a Jedi mind trick, okay? This is actually what Paul talks about in Philippians 4:8. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Why is Paul telling us to think about these things, to think about such things? Well, I think it's because he knew way before Qui-Gon Jinn did that our focus, what we're focused on, will determine who we are. It will determine our reality. Think about it. If we're looking for something to complain about, we're going to find something to complain about, right? But the same is true. If we say, hey, let's focus on something to be grateful for, we can always find something to be grateful for because we serve an amazing God and so many things to be grateful for. There's a concept in psychology called cognitive reappraisal. Cognitive reappraisal. And it's this idea of telling ourselves a different story about what is happening, right? And Joseph is a perfect example of this here in this story. You see, Joseph could have easily played the victim card here, right? His brothers did a horrible thing to him. He could have played the victim card and got caught up in the woe is me mentality, right? There's a lot of people in our world. We could play the victim card. But that's not what God desires of us. And here's the thing, on the flip side, Joseph could have also played God here in this moment. He had the power to even the score with his brothers. He could have had their lives taken if he wanted to. He had that ability. But he doesn't do either of these things. Why? I think it's because his focus was in the right place. He had adjusted his focus in the right direction. Joseph was able to step back and see the bigger picture. That's what we see here in our scripture from this morning, Genesis 50:20. Joseph starts by saying, you intended to harm me. But instead of focusing on what his brothers did, he focuses on what God did in the midst of it. When he says, but God used it for good, right? God used it to save the lives of many. And so the question, what is it that we're focusing on? Because if we want to win the day, if we want to flip the script, we have to adjust our focus. And we do that by fixing our eyes on Jesus, right? The author and perfecter of our faith. Are our eyes on the things of the world? Are our eyes on our past? Are our eyes on the future? Are our eyes in the moment on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith? I think most of us are familiar with the story where Peter walks on water, right? It's an amazing story. I remember when I was a little kid, I want to walk on water when I heard this in Sunday school. It's an amazing story where Peter walks on water. And if you remember, he's out, they're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the night. It's a little stormy. And the disciples see Jesus coming to them on the water. And at first they're terrified. Why? Because they think it's a ghost, right? They're like, oh no, it's a ghost. And then Jesus identifies himself. It's I, Jesus, right? And so Peter says, well, hey, if it's really you, Lord, Tell me to come to you. Tell me to come out to you on the water. And what does Jesus do? He says, come. And so Peter climbs out of the boat, right? His eyes focused on Jesus, and he begins to walk on the water. Only two people that we know have walked on water, right? Jesus and Peter. He walks on the water. But then what happens? He starts focusing on the wind, right? He starts focusing on the waves, and he begins to take his eyes off of Jesus. And so what happens? He begins to sink, right? If we're going to walk on water, if we're going to win the day, we have to adjust our focus. We have to make sure that our eyes stay focused on Jesus. And a couple simple ways for us to do that, to adjust our focus, which we actually referenced these last week as well when we talked about abiding in Him. And so I'm not going to dive into these. Last week I gave you a little bit on each of these. I'm just going to share these. A great way to stay focused on Jesus: reading the Word, spending time in prayer, spending time in worship, and spending time in fellowship with other believers. This is a great way to keep our focus on Him. These are things that will help us to adjust our focus and get our focus in the right direction. And so if we want to flip the script, we need to know who we are, we need to adjust our focus, and then ultimately we need to change our story. If we think about it, the truth is, all of us are born into someone else's story. We all have a family origin, which in the eyes of the world is our Genesis story, right? Our beginning. I was born into my parents' story. My parents were born into my grandparents' story. My grandparents into my great-grandparents, and so on and so on. You understand. And so here's the thing, for better or worse, all of us have been born into someone else's story. But here's the good news. Because of what Jesus did for all of us, we have the opportunity to change our story. When we become a part of God's family, when we say yes to Jesus, we get grafted into God's story. His Word, the Bible, becomes our backstory. And the lives we live become a part of His story, right? We, in essence, we become the fifth gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then us, right? The lives that we live in and through Christ. We become Acts 29, right? If you know, there's only 28. Chapters in Acts. We become Acts 29 as we begin to live out the rest of the story, being the church that He has called us to be. And so we change our story as we surrender our life to Jesus, as we become His children. When Joseph was lifted to second in command, he was given a signet ring, right? Which, if you don't know what it is, it's got the seal of the king on it. And it gives him the authority throughout all of Egypt. It literally changed his story. He went from being a prisoner to having the favor and authority of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And here's the thing, as we become children of God, as we say yes to Jesus, our story changes. We go from being lost to being found. We go from being in bondage to experiencing freedom. We go from death to life. And so the question is, have we flipped the script? That's the goal, right? Have we flipped the script? Do we know who we are? And have we adjusted our focus onto Jesus? Is He who we're focusing on? Are we living out His story in our lives? Because this is how we win the day: living our life for Jesus instead of the world. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for these amazing men and women in the Bible that we can learn so much from, Lord. I look at the life of Joseph, Lord. This person that went through so many struggles and challenges, not for anything he did, but for because of other people choosing to do these things to him. But Lord, the thing I see in Joseph is he never took his eyes off you. And because of that, Lord, you exalted him to an amazing place. You used him for your glory, Lord. And Lord, I believe that's your desire for each of us. Lord, you have called each of us to you. You have a plan for each of our lives to use us in ways that are beyond anything we could ever hope or imagine. But it starts with us giving our lives to you, changing our story, Lord. Not living out the story that we were born into. Not living out the broken, sinful people that we were, Lord. But we get to experience righteousness in and through you. We get to become a part of your story and allow your story to be lived in and through us, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to be people who live your story. Help us to be people who seek to live in the moment, to live in each day, and to do our best to win the day. And Lord, if we wake up seeking you, Lord, that's a great start. If we, throughout our day, pray and give things to you, that's winning the day, Lord. And so how do we seek to do the things of you instead of the things of the world? To win each day for you, to keep growing and becoming the men and women of God that you've called us to be. As I said earlier, Lord, it's a process. Living our lives for you, Lord, is a process. And as we learn each day to just keep giving it to you, as we win each day, Lord, help us to have those winning streaks where we just keep going and keep moving to live the life that you have called us to live, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you for this series as we enter into of winning the day. We want to be people who have flipped the script, Lord. We want to be people who are not living the lives that the world tells us to live, but we're living the lives that you have called us to live. And so we thank you for these things. Allow these things just to speak to each of us right where we're at. Lord, what is it that you want to speak to each of us as individuals today? We're all on a different place in this journey of following you. Speak to us. Help us to hear your voice and to begin to live the life that you have called us to live, Lord. Help us to know who we are. Help us to keep our focus on you. And Lord, to completely change our story. We thank you, we praise you, we give you these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.